Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
How about this one, too, if you're interested in the transfer portal going on right now?
Love the portal.
By the way, I saw another thing that popped up during that last segment. So Richard Pitino.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I ate a wing during the break and I forgot.
Now you're all fired up. Richard Pitino is in the mix for the Louisville job. That's right. Richard Pitino.
You can't.
It's like reverse nepotism.
Uh-huh.
You just literally can't do it.
I know you want to. I know someone in the room is probably like, hey, guys, I got a great idea. They won't let us have Rick. But
got Richie.
What if I told you he had a son?
Also in the portal. So Will Kyle went in the portal yesterday.
That's right.
Also, we have another Jack, South Dakota State, Zeke Mayo, who was a pretty dang good player this year. He will be entering the portal while declaring for the 2024 NBA draft. It's amazing. Like, and that's just life at the low major level. And for a program like South Dakota State, who, you know, they're more times than not, they find themselves in the NCAA tournament because they've won the Summit League.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, if they've developed to a point where by their junior year, by their third year or fourth year in the program, they become a really good player, an all-conference type of player. Like, they're going to leave. They will leave. They will go play at a high major school the next year. They will follow the Baylor Shireman plan.
Yeah, there's very little you can do to keep them.
Yep. It's hard.
Yeah.
it's hard. And by the way, you know, Baylor, Baylor is so much better for coming back that second year at Creighton than he would, you know, like, obviously he's going to be remembered differently because of the tournament success, but he had an all-conference year this year, like unanimous first team, all Big East. It doesn't look and feel the same for him if he's not here for his second year. And all of that is just familiarity with the league. So, like, that's also a good lesson for people, even though the broader lesson is, you can go to South Dakota State for 3 years and then go play, you know, at Creighton or and be an all-conference type of player. But that doesn't happen. You know, Baylor was a good player last year for Creighton, but, like, this year doesn't happen for him without his first year at Creighton. So it's a good lesson also in development. Like, what he did to his body this offseason and how he got himself prepared for this season and then to actually have it all play out and then have the tournament success to go along with it. I mean, that's not only a, like, this is a cool low major success story. It's also a good Creighton developmental story as well. And a good lesson to say, sometimes you just need time, you know, like sometimes you just need time at a place with the same people and around a league that you're familiar with and that you've become adjusted to as well. He was quite sporadic last year. He got most of the slings and arrows for last year's Creighton team, for that entire team. Like he got all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was because of his volatility, right? We had discussions about him. I remember Josh on the show, like, you kind of just have to take the good with the bad from him, you know, because the good is so good. This year, it's just been good the whole time. He's been very consistent in that regard. That, you know, you feel comfortable with the ball in his hands when there's 9 seconds left in regulation with your life on the line in the NCAA tournament.
One shot for your life.
Yep. Felt fine with that. So it's a good lesson either way. Anyway, lots of portaling going on out there. I should check the verbal commits and see how many people are in there in the moment. I would imagine it's more than 1,000.
I don't know if you heard, I did over 1,000. That's the portal talking.
Yeah. I don't know if you heard about this. I did get 1,000 people in there.
Stupid movie. I love it.
Creighton women's team lost last night.
Yeah.
Speaking of development, you know, so that group, so the starters with Brake, Jensen, Mogensen, Molly, Ronsick, and then also you have Jamie Horan, they can all come back next year, which is horrifying, right?
They're assassins.
I do wonder, like, I wonder what they'll, I wonder if that's a group decision or it's a, that's a player-by-player decision. Like, I wonder how that'll go going into next year. But I also wonder, like, what their ceiling is. And, like, they're going to be in the NCAA tournament. They're probably going to win, like, 27 games next year. It's just like, what kind of matchup do you get in the NCAA tournament? Do you want to – do you feel hungry enough to all come together and run it back again? And – just to try and get to the second weekend one more time, or the Elite Eight one more time, or the Final Four, or whatever it is. And maybe that's worth it. But, man, what a run for that group, even if this is the last we see of it in its form right now.
Yeah, they had a 10-point lead. I think it was actually an 8-point lead at halftime, but it was at 10 during several points of the game. Ah, just couldn't hang on, couldn't hit shots late. UCLA looked like they were playing some pretty tough D.
Yeah.
On them.
Yep.
Ah, just, I would like to see them run it back.
It did seem for a while as if they were going to get them last night.
Yeah. Can you rattle off another 25-plus win season and avoid the right teams in the bracket? I mean, I know the women's bracket isn't much for upsets, but can you avoid the right teams and survive as long as you can?
It's kind of what it all comes down to. Mm-hmm. Elsewhere in the women's game last night, Caitlin Clark survives.
Literally, yeah.
Would you like me to take a small mini victory lap on this, Josh?
I'm pro anyone in the show taking a victory lap whenever possible.
Look,
so please.
She survived last night, and what did I say about Iowa? I said they're definitely not going to make the Final Four. Mm-hmm. I almost said they're not going to make the second weekend. That almost didn't happen last night. They won by like 150 in their first game against Holy Cross, but they struggled last night against West Virginia, and they needed a little bit of help from various entities.
Oh, like Caitlin Clark and the players on the floor?
Well, Caitlin Clark, yes, they needed her to. I don't know what's going on with her. She's been even more demonstrative in her last two games, both in the NCAA tournament here.
I said after the first game, oh, it's all getting to her. There might be
a little bit of that, Josh.
There's a lot of pressure on her.
Yeah. Well, I mean, entire economies,
yes,
entire TV networks will fail without Caitlin Clark in the Final Four.
Absolutely.
I mean, they're not going anywhere, but it would certainly be a big blow to the plans for the Final Four if Caitlin Clark isn't there. And she might not be. And so I think they're probably on edge a little bit. And now they're not going to be at Carver-Hawkeye Arena in the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight rounds. Everybody will either be in Albany or Portland.
I know that's where you want to go next, but
it is. It is, Josh.
What are we doing?
I don't know.
Is this a big deal tournament or is it not?
So they went a couple years ago. It's more formal than it used to be.
It is.
Right? We went to the March Madness thing. They're actually allowing them to use the March Madness.
Giving them, like, water and food during the breaks,
like,
now.
You can put the regionals wherever you want, the Sweet 16 Elite Eight rounds wherever you want, because whatever smaller big city, I guess, is for the lack of a better phrase, mm-hmm, smaller big city will get that event, will embrace it. You know, if Lincoln got it, which they did one year, they would love it, right? If you know, Albany, it's a good place for it. Portland, it's a good place for it. Why was there only two? I have no idea. They're doing two regions at one site twice.
I get the, okay, if we put it in Wichita. Is anyone in Wichita going to come out? Like this Albany and Storrs. I imagine that's a pretty drivable distance for the residents of Storrs, Connecticut, the bustling hub that is Storrs, Connecticut.
And then there was also this kind of this conversation that was started to take a little bit more, you know, front-facing position last night, which was, has the women's game outgrown campus sites for the first two rounds of the tournament? We're currently on the women's side, if you're unfamiliar. You know, Iowa's a one seed, and they will get to host. They host their first two games, round of 64 and round of 32, at their place. Each of the top four seeds, so each of the top 16 teams in the tournament, get to host at their building for the first two games of the NCAA tournament before they move on to the regional rounds. That's the way it's been in the women's game. But a question has now been raised. Seems odd. It seems like a definitive advantage for those teams,
mm-hmm.
which, Nebraska going out to Corvallis, Creighton going out to
Los
L.A.
Angeles, yeah.
Yeah, like.
So I get that if you put, like, a first-round game in Detroit, like, no one's going to come out, and this is all designed to make money, but, and I don't know if the field is really, like, hey, what would have happened if Fairfield beat Indiana in the first round? Like, it's not necessarily great
if I don't know,
those power teams don't advance.
I don't know that it's about that as much as, like, I think we try to make it about, like, the student-athlete experience. And there were people that were saying last night, like, it is a cool experience to play at Oregon State or whatever it might be. That part of it is different, and it is unique, and it is embraced, and especially when you're playing, you know, when you're playing the host team.
Creighton played a wooden arena last night. Like, that's cool.
It is cool.
Wooden court, I guess,
but,
or whatever.
I mean, we've seen enough. Josh, you were at the event over the weekend. I've been at several of them now over the years. Like, that is special. That is so special.
Yeah.
And no, you don't have to put it in that big of a city. You know,
right?
But I do think there's really something to, and I think I was probably against the idea of this at first, but it's become very uniform and very kind of corporate looking, where all the courts are kind of the same. I like that now. I feel like that's a kind of charm of the tournament, and there is a uniformity about the entire thing, and it feels bigger. It feels bigger. It feels brighter.
It's not a thing that I'm overly concerned about anymore.
It doesn't feel like we've like shoehorned a tournament into, Corvallis, Oregon, or Omaha, Nebraska, or something like that. It feels like, oh, these places have supported it, and the NCAA has supported it. Like, it's about the money, right? So for the NCAA to come out and say, no, we'll rent out the arenas, we'll play them at these sites, we'll have the staffs, we'll buy the courts, we'll get everything. I think that would be a major message sent to the women's game. And I don't know that it's outgrown it, Josh, but I do think it would be a nice gesture from the NCAA to say, yes, we're going to do this for you, and we're going to make your tournament almost exactly like the men's side. I think that'd be cool. I think that'd be a nice gesture, and I think it'd be warranted at this point, because of the increased popularity of the sport.
And you would not have incidents like the Utah team having to move hotels in the middle of the night because the Gonzaga fans got a little unruly.
Yeah. Yikes.
To say the least. It was far worse than unruly, but
I think you could do it, and I do think it's probably time.
I think we're probably there. I still think if you put it, anywhere, like a 16 is not going to beat a 1. Like, the teams that you kind of want to insulate as a ratings driver
still make it through the first weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't need those home court. I mean, Iowa obviously has one. They don't. I mean, maybe they did need it last night.
I would have been curious what would have happened.
But you get to play it a little bit more true and. You know, a lot of times what happens to the top teams, actually, Josh, to the other side of your point, what happens to the teams that are favored is that the places where the cities in which these games are being located, they will adopt the underdog. They will adopt the Cinderella, whatever it is. Maybe it would result in a little bit more of that. Sure. Maybe it would result in, I mean, we never hear about Cinderella runs on the women's side.
Well, I was just looking that up. There was only, if I'm looking at this bracket correctly, there was one seed upset in the opening round.
Crazy. One?
Middle Tennessee over Louisville, an 11 over a 6.
Wow, that's insane.
Now, this is a tournament that is, that it's generally a low number of upsets. That's even a low number
that's
for this
insane.
Tournament.
Yeah.
I mean, they have first four
32
games now.
And only one was an upset?
Right.
Like, how many times did that happen in the men's game in the first round? I mean, we could look it up real quick.
A lot.
Probably in the neighborhood of 10 would be my guess. Somewhere around there.
While you're looking that up, I mean, there's one quadrant has a 1, 2, 3, 4 left. One quadrant has a 1, 2, 3, 4 left. One quadrant has a 1, 5, 3, 7 left after Duke beat Ohio State, which is, you could maybe call that the biggest upset of the tournament. And then the Iowa bracket is 1, 2, 3, 5. Hmm. Iowa-Colorado coming up. Oh, who do I root for there?
Yikes. Might be hard. 8, 9. Okay, I'm in the process of counting. I'm at 10. I am at 11. There was 11. Round of 64, there was 11 seed upsets. So 11 out of the 32 games. Good guess by me.
Here's an interesting victory lap. Here's an interesting tweet from Tank.
Hi, Tank.
Play the women's games at the same sites as the men's, just on the opposite days.
Feels like it'd be a lot. It'd be a lot of stress on the cities and the hotels and the like.
I think if you could logistically do it, that might be the way to do it.
That's a lot to handle.
Those are big cities, though, in the first round. I do kind of think you need them in smaller cities, like maybe like an Oklahoma City, or, I mean, even smaller than that.
Yeah. We get this email from John.
Hi, John.
Says the crowds will be nowhere as big for the first two rounds of the women's tournament if they move them off campus. If that isn't a concern, then by all means move them off site. But the atmosphere is going to be much different. I mean, that's kind of the point that we're making. Like, maybe the game is at the point where the neutral court sites don't have to be that bad. And remember what they do for the women's tournament, or for the men's tournament, where they will place the one seeds at very close locations to where you're at. So you're fans can make it easier to travel. So like South Carolina, who's, you know, one seed, is going to be playing in Charlotte or Raleigh or Charleston or whatever it might be in the first round. Their fans will still go. They'll still be there.
Jacksonville.
Right.
I don't know.
Something like that. And, you know, maybe it's not so much about the attendance of them as much as it is about a TV product.
Mm-hmm.
Which that is definitely what's happening in the rest of the sports.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Something to chew on, maybe a little bit. But maybe we have reached that point. All right. We will return. Jacob Bigelow will join on the other side. We will ask him about Richard Pitino emerging as a top candidate for the Louisville job.
Good.
Not just in the mix. Emerged as a top candidate. The next step to this is he's been hired.
Remember?
This is exciting. We'll come back with Jacob next on the Connor Happer Show on 1620 The Zone. But say goodbye to busted brackets, because FanDuel lets you bet on every game of the tourney. Whether you're betting on a big upset or a one seed, it's time to go dancing on America's number one sportsbook. Right now, new customers get $200 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. Take a look at what we have coming up this weekend. No, there might not be much room for Mr. Cinderella anymore. But that is where you can get busy. Some real tight splits on those games. So, look into it. See what you like. Creighton's plus 2.5. I'm just saying, might get back to their second final regional, you know, in the last 2 years. I'd look into it if I were you. And if you win that bet, it's $200 in bonus bets for you in the FanDuel Sportsbook. $200 to use on point spreads, money lines. And you can even pick who's going to win it all. FanDuel.com/Happer. Bet on college hoops all the way until the end, until they cut the nets down. FanDuel.com /Happer. 21 and over present in Iowa. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is now withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.